And then our nightly rental staff recommendations are the same. We'd have one off-street parking, sleep no more than four persons. And there's no other changes in that decision of record, so.
Good evening.
Hello, I'm back. Following up with the recommendations that I got from Scott plus the last meeting, I spoke with Jim Single from the fire department in our district. He recommended two sprinkler heads. He said that would be sufficient for the size of it. So I have a plumber who has been over and looked at it who's ready to put those in. He'll also be connecting it to the water and sewer. Also have met with a contractor who will be coming. At the last meeting, you guys recommended putting the wood all the way to the ground, which said use marine grade, whatever you call it, so it doesn't rot, all the way down to the ground, all the way around it. The people who built it, the guy built it, then he moved away, the son of the previous owner. It will be absolutely adorable when I'm finished with it. I'm going to enlarge the windows, and I mean, it'll just be a lot nicer than that. It's going to really make the neighborhood look better. Going to do a little patio area out there. Have a contractor who will be coming. They'll insulate underneath it, insulate the pipes. And then, as Scott just mentioned, putting the 50-foot privacy fence on both sides. And that would go behind it. Is that correct, Scott?
What's that?
The privacy fence would block it from the person directly behind it.
Correct. Your north line and right, your west line will have the privacy fence on it.
So the person living directly behind us would have the privacy fence. Do you require 6 or 8 feet for the privacy fence?
Usually they're 6 foot, but that's at the discretion of the Planning Commission.
Okay. And I met with Randy Hayes. He was over, and he agreed there's plenty of room for the driveway. And he says we need a 15-inch by 24-foot culvert, which I have that in place, ready to go in, you know, right away. Last time I was here, I shared with you how I went around and met with, you know, most of the neighbors, or a lot of the neighbors, just to introduce myself and to let them know what I was doing and who I was using. So I understand that would be kind of scary to some people, you know, wondering what kind of people are going to come in and rent it, et cetera, et cetera. And my daughter and son-in-law, this is my son-in-law, David Lilly. she's done rental properties for, they don't use Airbnb, they use someone else, but she's done them for 3 years. They're, of course, much larger. And he's done the maintenance. So, and she has taught me. I've helped her with her rentals for the last 3 months. So she's taught me how to be a super host. So I know all the, you know, neat things to do. It would be absolutely perfect. I think it would be better for the neighborhood if it was a nightly rental versus a monthly. We do have numerous monthly rentals around there. At our last meeting, you guys, someone asked a question about nightly versus monthly, and I went back and listened to the audio later and heard myself tell you that they were nightly, and I about had a heart attack. I told Scott, I don't know why I said that. I must have been nervous or something. But they're monthly. There is one cabin back on Ben Oak Road that is used short-term rentals. I think Kennecott uses it part of the time. I spoke with the lady. She originally built it for her parents. Her dad passed away before it was finished. Then her mother lived there, and her mother passed away. And so that's what she's been doing with it. But with it being done as a nightly rental, we wouldn't have people there all the time. I was told to expect maybe half of the year someone in there, where when you have a monthly rental, you don't know who you're going to get in. They interview well. You know, their credit score is high enough, and they pass all those things. But, you know, if you have problems with them, it takes a long time to get them out. And I'd like the idea of it being vacant a lot, because right out my patio door, you know, I can see the entire house. And then, you know, a lot of the neighbors have told me that they have family coming in to visit them who would love to stay there. And a lot of people have been wanting to stay there. And the neighbors that I talked to, it was Christmas, so it was hard to contact everyone. Then I got sick for a week, then it got cold, and I just didn't want to go out. But I contacted, I think there are 57 homes represented on the list that I got, and I met with 40 of them and got an astonishing 85% yes. And I do have the additional signatures I brought in tonight, which I had given you some at the other meeting. So there are actually 35 signatures that you should have, but there's really only 33 because two of those were spouses of someone else who had signed already. So I thought that was really great. 85% out of the, I contacted 40 out of the 57. So I think that gives you a really good idea. And everybody that I talked to, I was just really amazed at how quickly, you know, they were accepting of that. They know it's been there and it's been vacant a lot. The guy who built it moved out, and then the previous owners, they just let it sit there. So it's really, it's only 8 years old, but it's starting, you know, to look, they didn't keep it up. And it'll look like a little park-like area when I'm finished with it. And I'm sure before I'm going to use Airbnb, they have house rules. And the other lady who was speaking was talking about house rules. Mine would be through the Airbnb site. Have any of you guys used that site? I know a lot of people prefer that now over motels. They feel safer with that. There are house rules. Airbnb, they do background checks. They require a profile of each person. They require email, phone number. And if anyone looks suspicious, of course, they block them. And our house rules are posted online before they rent. And my rules would be no loud noise after 10. You know, the shows end about 10. No drinking or drugs, of course, on the property. No smoking inside the house. My neighborhood, I have one neighbor here tonight. She's representing a bunch of them, though, who couldn't make it. I shared this, I think, at the other meeting. When I first moved there, I was, like, really surprised that, I mean, they knew, like, I felt they knew every move I made, you know, day or night. I didn't really like that a lot at first. I thought, man, I got some really nosy neighbors. But then I thought, you know, they're a good nosy neighbor. they know everything going on. And they help take care of each other if someone has a problem in that. So I feel safer there with my neighbors than I would with, you know, the ADT security system. So I've got the better security, plus I don't have to pay for it. So I love that, and the people that I met going door to door, I mean, they're just all the nicest people that I've ever met. I've never been in a neighborhood like this. Most places where I've lived, you know, most neighbors don't act like they want to know who you are or anything about you. You know, you wave when you go by and that's it. But these guys have block parties and all kinds of things like that. And with my living there, I think that's what makes it different than a lot of them also. I mean, I'm there all the time, and if anything goes on, I would know it immediately. My daughter and son-in-law live on Bee Creek, not far from me, so if I had any problems, you know, they would be right there, I think. Would you?
Yeah.
yeah, they'd be right there. So I don't know if you have any other questions. I think I covered everything.
Any specific questions?
So I was going over your list of addresses,
mm-hmm.
and you noted, and I noted that you spoke with tenants. So your next door neighbor at 161 is a tenant. Did you speak with the owner of the property?
I discussed that with Scott before I went to any of the neighbors, back before I applied, and Scott told me that, if I understood you correctly, Scott, that it was better, he felt, to speak to the tenants because they are the ones who live there. They're the ones who would be affected by whomever's in there. An owner lives far away, and if someone's going to make noise or act stupid, you know, they aren't going to be there to have to deal with it.
So you didn't speak to the
guard? No. If I would have had another week, I would have.
I didn't see 213 honeysuckle on your list.
213.
Are they in favor or against?
Which one would that be?
Next door neighbor.
Is that on the corner?
It's right next to your house.
Okay. I have a visual if you guys would like it. I did this like 15 minutes before I left my house. And I made copies. I'll show this to you since you've asked that question. Is this who you're talking about?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, they are not in favor. I met with them twice. The first time I met with them, the reason they gave me, and I didn't want to talk for them in case, you know, they sent an email or something, or if they showed up. The reason they gave me the first time was they were worried about rapists. And my response to that was, well, you know, you weren't safe anywhere. You know, you can go to Walmart parking lot, getting in your car, you can go anywhere practically. You aren't safe. And I shared this at the last meeting. We aren't really safe going to church today. We just live in that kind of world. The second time I went to them, and I don't want to, I really hesitate to share this with you because I don't want to try to put a bad light on them. But he actually asked me, he said, I don't have a problem with the property being used as a renter. I'm not concerned about the people coming in, but I'm concerned about the owner of the property. He was, do you know his occupation?
I don't.
He was a deputy sheriff. He's retired. And he said he did online investigations, internet crime. And he said that there was an owner who had hidden cameras in the house. And I already knew this. And I finished on the story. I said, yes, I already know this. They did do that. Some kind of sick old person, you know, had hidden cameras, videotaped people. One of the guests who came in later actually found the cameras or the equipment, turned it in. And he said, I don't have a problem with the renters coming, but I have a problem with you. Number one, I don't know you. And I said, you've got to freaking be kidding me. And he said, I don't know you, and you don't know you. You don't know what you're capable of. And I said, I do think I know myself. I'm a Christian, and I run women's homeless shelter.
Ma'am, I think it's the question really is, are they for or against the nightly rental?
Reason.
We don't need to go into the details.
And so also,
behind
didn't
it.
See 150 and 168. That's behind you.
Okay. Oh, the ones on Deerfield.
I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss it on the list.
I wasn't able to. Yeah, that's why I did this visual.
It's on there too. That is correct.
Which one are you talking about? These two are not in favor.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I had it correct on the list.
Yeah.
That I didn't miss anything. Okay.
Right. If you want me to tell you why they're in favor, I can, because.
No, no, ma'am.
Okay.
Yeah.
There were six total who were not in favor and 33 who were. So that's 85% for.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone that signed up, that has their sheet, that signed up, that is in favor?
Yes. Dave Lilly, and I'm the son-in-law of Linda Conrad, and my wife and I, you know, the primary voice is just, you know, to voice her, the support in her business endeavors. My wife and I have worked with Roberts Vacation Rentals as independent contractors, you know, from cleaning to reservation management to light maintenance, being first eyes, first response on any issues or complaints, you know, that come on, you know, through the business aspect of it. And as Linda indicated, we live on Bird Road. You know, within, you know, 5 minutes of being able to respond to any complaints, any issues, that sort of thing, we will be